Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for whatever part of the next 2 hours you can be with us. Also thank you for your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years. Once again, our good friend Father Douglas Michael McKay is on his second week of vacation, and will be back with us next Wednesday, so for today, you've got me and me only, and then all those that will call in over the course of the next hour. Father McKay and I are part of Warehouse Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Just a reminder that I've been doing some writing over the past few months. If you're interested in reading what I write, you can find my musings at on a Substack account. It's notsaintsyet.substack.com. And I was just listening to the intro that we play each week, and we mentioned that every saint's got a past and every sinner's got a future. If you're interested in a T-shirt that's got that on the back and Not Saints Yet on the front, a lot of people have seen and are wearing the T-shirts and like them. You can pick one up at my website at notsaintsyet.org. That's notsaintsyet.org. Or just get in touch with me, Ken at notsaintsyet.org, and they can answer any questions you might have. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel Church in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is opened on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It opens around 9 o'clock in the morning following daily mass at 8:30 and open until approximately 4:30. As of yesterday, we're going to suspend the adoration and Matt Talbot prayers and benediction that we were doing on Tuesday afternoons. But we'll still have a rosary every Thursday at 4 o'clock. Folks are more than welcome to come down and visit the shrine. And get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website, and we can meet you over in church. Speaking of Matt Talbot, plans are underway for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot's passing, which will take place in 2025. Matt Talbot would die on June the 7th, 1925. I've been in touch with our friends in Ireland, and lots of things are going to happen next year. Both in Ireland and some things happening here. Out at the Malvern Retreat House, we're raising funds to build a shrine to Matt Talbot out there. A new friend of ours, Bill Rose with Joyful Films, is going to make what started out as like a vignette of the life of Matt Talbot. Was going to be about 22 minutes. After some meetings that we've had, Bill's decided that we really need more like a feature-length film. And so to make a film like this, we're being told it's going to cost about $250,000. We've started raising money to make that film and hoping to have it done sometime early to mid-2025, certainly in time for the centenary celebration. Also, part of the planning includes a gathering in Ireland that'll begin probably the week before. My friend Michael Murphy's putting together a pilgrimage that'll probably start May 31st, and then wrap up on June the 8th in Dublin. It'll include stops at various places in Ireland, including Knock, maybe Lough Derg. We're still trying to finalize the plan. And then culminate with a weekend in Dublin where we'll celebrate Matt Talbot. There'll be Mass on Saturday, June the 7th at the Pro Cathedral. Mass will be offered by the Archbishop of Dublin. They're trying to get us to convince Father McKay to come over and do a Mass on Sean McDermott Street. It's Our Lady of Lourdes Church where Matt Talbot's interred. Have Mass there on Friday night, June the 6th. So as details become available, we'll make you aware. Finally, if you know any men that are looking to make a retreat, be more than happy to have you join us August 16th to the 18th out at Malvern. We'll have Father Bryce Lundgren on hand, who wrote the book The Catholic Cowboy Way. Father Bryce will be coming in from Cheyenne, Wyoming for that weekend. You can register for that retreat and any other retreats at Malvern by going to malvernretreat.com. That's malvernretreat.com. Or call the retreat house at 610-644-0400. All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph, pray for us. Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. St. Mark G. and St. Monica, pray for us. St. Camillus de Lillis and St. John of God, pray for us. Our patron saints and guardian angels, pray for us. And all the saints and angels, pray for us. This is a one-hour call-in show with about 52 minutes left. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls as we approach the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. I've got at least two of my own, but would love to hear yours. So we'll give out those numbers again before we go to the break, and hope you can call in. We have returned to Ordinary Time, and this week we are in the eighth week in Ordinary Time, and we do have a few saints in the calendar. On Sunday the 26th, if it hadn't been a Sunday, we'd have celebrated St. Philip Neri, who was a priest. On Monday the 27th, in addition to being Memorial Day, it was also the feast of St. Augustine of Canterbury, who was a bishop. Today, the 29th, we celebrate St. Paul VI, who was a pope. On Friday the 31st, we celebrate the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And on Saturday the 1st, St. Justin Martyr. So, I thought I would talk in this first segment about the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I want to kick that off by taking a look at the gospel that we're going to hear at Mass on Friday. And so it's taken from the first chapter of Luke, verses 39 to 56. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. And praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And I chose to talk about the visitation because when I was preparing for today's show and going through the saints that were in the calendar, you know, this one, you know, struck me right away, familiar with the Gospel, and a couple other aspects that I would like to tie in here. One is St. Joseph, and back in 2020, the COVID year, and you know, here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, we were shut down for a little while, and obviously, you know, weren't supposed to leave our homes unless, of course, you were going to an abortion clinic or a Home Depot or Lowe's or some other big box store, but we were pretty much supposed to stay where we were, and so that meant we couldn't get to the studio, and it took us a little while to work with WTMR, who is the host of our shows, and figure out a way for us to broadcast from home. And fortunately, I was able to do that from a place in the Poconos, and one of the first, if not the first show that I had during that time was with Father Donald Calloway. And it was about a book that he had written called Consecration to St. Joseph, The Wonders of Our Spiritual Father. And it was interesting because Father Calloway, the book had come out, and it was just prior to Pope Francis making 2020 the year of St. Joseph. You know, it was a huge Is That Odd or Is That God that Father Calloway would publish the book, and then the Pope shortly after would make that announcement. And a lot of the book in areas, he tells us a lot about St. Joseph that I wasn't aware of, you know, where the wedding bands are located that Mary and Joseph had worn, and some of the some intimate details taken from other sources, and other things that you can kind of surmise or reason that were true about Mary and or Joseph. And one of the things he talks about a lot is the misconception that Joseph was an old man. And he mentions that even the early church fathers perhaps and other people thought that because St. Joseph would have to live a life of chastity, that it would be really, really hard if he was a young man, but probably a whole lot easier if he was an old man. And, you know, as Father Calloway said, what sacrifice is there in that? If St. Joseph was beyond the an age of having strong desires, then, you know, it would make it it would just make it easier for him. But, you know, wouldn't Jesus want a father that would know how to sacrifice? And, you know, Jesus is the ultimate example of sacrifice, of course. You know, we would think that perhaps Joseph was a younger man. And then the next thing that comes into play there is you think about some of the things that Mary and Joseph did together. So the trip from Nazareth to Ein Kerem, which is where Elizabeth would live with Zechariah, today would take, it's about 105 miles to get there. My wife and I have been looking at possibly doing a trip to Spain to do the El Camino. That whole thing's 500 miles. My wife thinks that we might be able to do the whole 500. I'd like to start out and maybe just sign up for 100. But even to do 100 miles takes more than a week. And so the idea that, number one, that Mary would make the trip by herself, or even that Joseph would go out to the local highway, if you will, which is probably a path the caravans would take, and and just place her in a caravan and maybe give them enough money that they would protect her, I don't think is may have been what happened. If I'm Joseph and I find out that my wife-to-be, not my wife, they're not married yet, is pregnant, and then I have an angel come to me and tell me that that it's okay because the baby that she's carrying is destined for great things and is going to be the Lord. I would think, as much as I wanted to protect my wife when she was pregnant with our four children, I can only imagine how much more that Joseph wanted to protect Mary and would not leave it in the hands of strangers for that protection. And so Joseph probably made that 100-mile trek from Nazareth to Ein Kerem. Now, Mary remained there, as it says at the end of the gospel. She would remain there for 3 months. Well, I don't think Joseph remained there for the whole 3 months. I'd be willing to bet that Joseph made the trip up, made sure she got settled in, got to witness Elizabeth opening the door and exclaiming, you know, what she says, you know, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And Joseph probably had an opportunity to witness that. And but once the greetings were exchanged and Mary was settled in, I would think that Joseph probably had to make the trek back to Nazareth. He probably had work to do, contracts to fulfill, and what have you. And then would make arrangements to return. So he does 200 miles round trip. 3 months later, he probably does another 200 miles round trip. By then, or soon after that, they get the notification that they have to return to their birthplace in order to fulfill the census. And so Mary and Joseph would make the 80-mile trek from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And once they get to Bethlehem, of course, Jesus is born, and it doesn't take very long for Herod to send his minions out to try and kill our Lord. And Joseph would get the message from an angel to take Mary and the baby to Egypt. Well, to get from Bethlehem to Egypt, just to the border is 40 miles, and they probably traveled even further into Egypt, someplace where there was plenty of food and what have you. They stay there for a while, and then the trek from Egypt back to Nazareth would be 120 miles. And by now, if you're thinking the way I think, there's no way some old man is making all these journeys, especially on foot. And so, you know, chances are that Joseph was a little bit younger than maybe some of the depictions we see, and took care of the Blessed Mother. In the visitation itself, the a couple of things that are there. Elizabeth obviously must have been aware of what had happened with Mary and Gabriel when Gabriel would come to her and let her know that she had been chosen by the Father to birth his son, Jesus Christ. And so Mary had to be in communication with Elizabeth for her to be aware of some of the information, just that we see in the gospel here, that she knows it's the mother of my Lord. And then the line there, blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. So Elizabeth must have known ahead of time. Maybe they exchanged letters or somehow, but Elizabeth was fully aware of, it seems anyway, of what was going on in Mary's life. We know that John the Baptist was not born without original sin, or conceived, I should say, without original sin. But I've heard Father McKay and others refer to this idea of John leaping in the womb, that would be probably like his own baptism, that Joseph, or that John the Baptist knew just by being in the proximity of our Lord that he was in the presence of something great. And obviously, Elizabeth would feel that leap, and you can just imagine the joy that that they were experiencing. Elizabeth being pregnant in her old age, taken from earlier parts of the gospel. And here's Mary now, a young girl who's accepted the challenge to birth our Lord and Savior. And then what comes next and Mary's response after Elizabeth talks to her is what's called the Magnificat. For those that pray the Liturgy of the Hours, you know that that's prayed each morning. And I remember back on a silent retreat I made, I think it was in 2006, maybe 2007. And it was an eight-day silent retreat, and around day six or seven, I had a great spiritual director that week, a Redemptorist brother, I can never forget his name, Brother Renatus Frodenauer. And I had a great experience with him throughout the 8 days, but on day six or day seven, his challenge to me was to write my own Magnificat. And it took some doing to have it in a notebook at home that I used while I journaled on that retreat. And how does our own soul proclaim the greatness of the Lord? And does our spirit rejoice in God, my Savior? And, in looking at Mary's Magnificat, and, if you didn't know the backstory and even the story after of everything that had happened, it could sound like, she was pretty high on herself, that future generations are going to call me blessed, and the Almighty has done great things for her. And if you're not familiar with the story, it can seem like somebody that's full of a little pride, and yet it all came to be fulfilled. And, even to this day, we call her the Blessed Mother. Pretty certain that this is where it would have originated. I don't know how many other places in Scripture or anywhere else where either Mary or anybody else refers to her as blessed. And so, just a whole spring of things that are happening in this gospel and in this event. The gist of this show a lot of weeks is talking about recovery, addiction and alcoholism and what have you. And that was the other reason I wanted to talk about the visitation, because so much of what's required for those of us that struggle with addiction is to help other people, is to be in service. And here's our Blessed Mother having gone through some turmoil, being told that she's been chosen by God, that she's going to bear a son and he's going to be the Savior. And, and then at 3 months pregnant, and I can just go back to my, and actually it was sooner than that, that she would be there for the first 3 months of her pregnancy. But having had the privilege of having a wife and four kids, and knowing what that can be like, whether it's morning sickness, pains that you haven't had before, changes in hormones, changes in your body, and it cannot be an easy time, especially for your first child. And of course, Mary's a young girl. We don't know the exact age, but 13 to 16, say. So, she's a young girl, has all these questions, wondering, how all this is going to play out, having physical things happening with her own body. And at the end of Gabriel's initial message in the Annunciation, he mentions to her that Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant. So, the Blessed Mother just, drops what she's doing, hanging out with Joseph for a few days until they get it worked out that, Joseph's actually going to stay and support her. And then just imagine her, saying to Joseph, "Oh, remember the end of what Gabriel told me, that my cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant." And, Elizabeth, she's not a young girl like I am. She's a bit older and she can probably use some help. you know, how about if I make the trek from here to Ein Karim? And it, and, you know, and it's not like you're going from Philadelphia to Camden or even to Trenton. It's, you know, going to Philadelphia and beyond New York City, and there's no public transportation to get there. We're going to walk. And to me, when I've meditated on that and thought about it, it's like it's the epitome of service. You know, she immediately thought of somebody else and not herself, thinking of how she can help somebody else. And not that she necessarily had an addiction or other issues that she was trying to work through, but the simple fact that she knew that she needed to be of service to other people. Probably learned that as a young girl when she was a virgin and living in the temple for a few years there. She makes haste to Ein Karim to take care of Elizabeth. And for many of us that are in recovery, you know, that service, the idea of doing service, of helping others, gets drilled into us early on. And it's not that we have the message of recovery that we can necessarily take to other people right away, because we're not even recovered ourselves. Or even maybe haven't started through the 12-step program. But when I first got sober, you know, they still had smoking in the meeting, so there were ashtrays to be cleaned, there was coffee to be made. Some of the groups hadn't gone to styrofoam cups yet. They would have, you know, actual coffee cups there that had to be cleaned, cleaning the meeting space, just a number of activities that, you know, they would give the new people to do to put them in service. And we've only got a couple of minutes before we go to the break, but I think I had mentioned last week, after being gone for 2 weeks, one of the reasons we canceled was we were scheduled to have Father Spitzer here, who's written a wonderful book called The Four Levels of Happiness. And the third level is empathy. The idea that we can actually put ourselves in other people's shoes. And so Father Spitzer mentions that, you know, we could be walking down the street, and a complete stranger who's a block ahead of us, we see them fall down, and right away we cringe. And it's like if they fell and landed on a knee, our knee immediately, we feel that pain. Now, it's not a physical pain, right? It's a contextual thing, if you will, that we know that the pain that they've suffered, and we can, to some degree, actually feel some of that pain. And that's a human trait that God has given us, that empathy. And so when we help other people, there's a natural feeling of happiness that comes along with that. And for folks that are in recovery, it may have been something that they haven't experienced for a long time because of how selfish we get. And which is just part of the human condition. I think we're naturally selfish and really have to work hard to not be, and to think of others first and do for others first. And that once we start doing that, we get to experience some happiness, and it's enough that we want to keep doing it. Not necessarily we don't want to see people fall, but we want to be able to put ourselves out there and be of use to others. And so when I came across the visitation in preparing for the show, that was one of the first things that came to mind, is this young girl, certainly going through some emotional turmoil and some physical changes, and did not think of herself first, but ran to Ein Karim to take care of her cousin, Elizabeth. And so those of us that need to be in service in order to overcome addiction, I think the Blessed Mother is a great example of that. And, you know, to look at our own situations and, probably pale in comparison in some ways to what the Blessed Mother was going through. Certainly we have, cravings for whatever it was that we were addicted to, and we may have other stuff that we need to clean up on our own, but to be able to put that aside and go and immediately start to help other people, you know, gives us a sense of pride, a sense of self-worth, and certainly a sense of happiness, enough so that for a lot of people, that's enough to keep them coming around for a while. So we are at the bottom of the hour. I want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back. I've got a couple things to share with you, but hoping we get a couple of calls for people to share their odd or God or maybe something related to the visitation. The numbers here are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Your host, Ken Johnston. Again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Still waiting on your phone calls for that Is That Odd or Is That God segment. The number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or toll free, 888-343-2484. I got a text message from my buddy Luke Latorno. If you're listening, Luke, give us a call. While we're waiting, just a quick rundown on the Calyx groups here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and nearby Wilmington, Delaware. The Calyx Society is a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs where our motto is, "We substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies." Every Tuesday, Father McKay and I, not the last 2 weeks, but Father and I usually get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia, where we meet in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street, across the street from St. Gabriel's Church, where we begin with at 6 o'clock p.m. with adoration, followed by Mass and then a Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday of the month, we have our Matt Talbot Holy Hour, beginning at 6 o'clock in St. Gabriel's Church, and then Mass at 7 o'clock. We have a unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown that meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock. In the Parish Center, their next meeting will be next Thursday, June the 6th. The unit at St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside, my home parish, we meet on the third Saturday of the month. We join the parish for the 8:30 a.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And the meeting in June will be on Saturday, June the 15th. The unit that's now meeting at the Malvern Retreat House on the third Sunday of the month, they have a 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joseph's Hall, followed by refreshments and then a meeting. They'll gather the third Sunday in June, which will be June 16th. And the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, starting with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a meeting. So they'll get together Saturday, June the 29th. And every Wednesday in Wilmington, Delaware, the Calyx unit has Mass at 6:15 p.m., followed by their meeting. And today is the last Wednesday of the month, so in the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to be joined by Peter DePalma for Divine Will Wednesday. You're going to want to stick around for that. So, able to generate a couple callers here. We're going to go to Frank first. Hello, Frank. How you doing, pal?
Ken.
Frank, how are you, brother?
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, Ken. I forget what week it was when you were playing the best of. You mentioned about your son. I think it was Holy Cross. Did he teach the Holy Cross?
He in Germantown. He will be there next year.
Oh, it is Holy Cross?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so much for that. I was wondering, in the movie Rudy, I thought he taught a Holy Cross before he went to Notre Dame. Was that the same school?
I don't know.
Did you ever see I've seen the movie Rudy?
But I don't remember where he went to school before Notre Dame.
Yeah, I thought it was Holy Cross, that's all.
Yeah, not sure. Not sure. Thanks for listening to the repeat.
Well, I like that. Everyone about your son, he's doing really good. Yeah. And also, Father Doug, enjoy your vacation. And I can't wait to get back. Whenever I do meet you, whenever that will happen, the first round's on me. Every 2 weeks, hold on. Like, the first round's on me. You have coffee, tea, Coke, Pepsi, or milkshake. That's your choice.
Milkshake. There you go. I'm in.
And thanks, Ken, Father Doug, and Captain Lou. Thank you so much. I am today a better person because of you three, the Holy Trinity. Father Doug, Ken, and Captain Lou. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks for the call, brother. Be good.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And we've got another call on the line. We got Mike. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Ken. How are you?
All right, brother. How are you?
Good, good. Hi, Patrick. Hi, Father Doug.
No, Father Doug. Father Doug's still down your way in Wildwood.
I'm sure he's listening.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sitting here thinking of a thousand things, Ken. But one of them was we're forming up a pad for my son in his backyard. And it's a 20 by 20 pad. So I'm digging it out, and I did look down, and I dug up a dime. I could not believe it. Now, here I am in the back of the yard, digging up thing, and here I dig up a dime. And so God was just letting me say, Mike, do your labor. You know, everything will work out.
Yeah.
Thank God. Thank God it did. But anyway, and another thing I'm thinking about Father Spritzer, you know, yeah. A little deep for me. I usually get it the day after or two after that. But what an intelligent person, and from me, you know, and they talk about happiness, and they say about happiness, true happiness is making somebody else happy, and how true that is. You know, when you see somebody, when you do something for somebody, and how the joy they get out of it, the happiness I feel inside is unbelievable, and. And that's true happiness for me. But then another thing, you know, our buddy Butch, you know, and I get choked up right now because, I know all the work he's done for people. And, you know, in the situation that he's in right now is unbelievable. You know, it's unbelievable. And how powerful this disease is and how powerful God is, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, and I was talking to my brother on the phone, and Father Doug was behind him, and we were talking about, and I was talking about Butchie, and Father just came in, by the way, and so I'm talking to him and conversing to Father at the same time, and I was telling Father, I said, oh, Father, you got to, you know, he said, yeah, give them the last rites, you know, make sure you call a priest and all. So I was telling Father, like, oh, Father, you have to get down there, I said, friend of mine's mother died, Margaret Doherty, and I used to see her every week, you know, bring her candy down every week for months. And but she was on her last thread, and Pat, her son, I came up to the door knock. She said, Mike, I think you're a little too late, you know. He said, but you can come in. And I went in, and she was on morphine drip and all that. And I mentioned in her ear, I said, Margaret, it's Mike. And her eyes opened up, and her son Patrick started crying. He said, Mike, I can't believe it. I said, Margaret, everything's all right. You can go. You're in peace now. Go and see my mother, my father, Aunt Betty, and I started naming people in the neighborhood. And so after that, she passed away, and her son, Patrick, was crying his eyes out, knowing what just happened. And so I told Father Doug, you have to get through to him some way. And he said, well, I think it's being worked out. Somebody's going to put a phone to his ear. And I found out that when they did this, his eyes, you know, there was some kind of like signal that he was going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I just found out from Patrick that his son went and seen him, who hasn't seen him in 12 years. And, you know, I'm getting choked up right now, Ken.
I get it, Mike.
I know how powerful this is, man, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, the world will be revealed. You know?
Amen.
And, I told Patrick, like, this is St. Douglas's first miracle, and all we need is one more.
Yeah.
But, you know, he has many miracles in that neighborhood.
They just
haven't heard of him yet. But, he's our saint, and that's for sure. But thanks, Ken.
All right, Michael.
Service. Like you say, love and service. And the quote for the day was from Bill Wilson, and it was about love and service. And it says, it says that 12 steps were simmered down to the last. Resolve themselves into two words, love and service.
Amen.
Dr. Bob, amen, is right. So thanks for everything, Ken.
All right, Michael.
Good day. Thank you.
All right, you too, brother. Be good.
All right, you too.
All right, bye-bye. And again, one more caller on the line. Hello, Luke.
Is this my brother, Ken?
Yes, it is. How are you, brother?
What is going on, dude? Long time no speak, man.
Yeah. Hopefully, I may run into you this weekend. But
uh-oh, watch out.
Yeah. So how's your ministry doing?
Huh? We're blessed, man. We're blessed. It's, first, got to give a big call out to our brother Pat Kennedy for continuing to send out the text reminders. Just happened to be, I was able to click on the link for the Facebook, and I saw your lovely face on there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It took me back for a second. I was expecting just to hear your voice and to see your lovely face.
Oh, yeah. Not looking too good today. The makeup guy didn't show up again.
you can give Pat the day off every now and again.
Yeah. Nah, he's a texting fool on Wednesdays. So.
Yeah. Amen, man. Amen. Yeah. Continue to let the Holy Spirit guide you in this ministry, man. It's such a blessing to have these moments together to share the love, to share the joy. But I actually have an honor God moment to share. It's not crazy, but it's a beautiful moment from the Lord. So my wife and I, we were out to dinner up in King of Prussia, and just thought we'd go out. It was our anniversary, and we meet the waiter. We're talking to him, and like, "Where are you from?" And he's like, "I'm from Grays Ferry." I was like, "No way! Like, seriously?" And he's like, "Yeah, my grandmom lived like diagonal, or you know, her front porch could look right out to the courtyard of St. Gabe's." I was like, "Oh, that is so cool." And he knew the area. I can't remember if he said he knew Father Doug or not. I don't know if he was faithful or where he was on his journey. But then, he said he moved out to the Montgomery County area, and sure enough, he moved into the parish that my wife grew up in, and he went to my wife's high school. So it was just a beautiful Otter God connection that we both had similarities that we could share with this waiter, and just a man that needs prayers. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful moment being open to the Holy Spirit to just be guided to pray with that waiter. So it's awesome, man. It's awesome.
That's cool. Yeah, you never know these conversations we strike up. And I had an author on a month or two ago that wrote a book called Sacred Conversations. You know, we call him Otter God, but somehow or other, God manages to connect the dots, and these little conversations come up, and we never know where they're going to lead, right?
Amen, man.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful part too, just for each one of us to continue to remember to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and just to allow those moments, especially in moments to if someone's on your heart. Like, you know how many times someone's like, "Man, why did I think of why do I think of my buddy Ken? Well, let me reach out to him because he's looking so good on Facebook right now." But in those promptings, that we follow the Holy Spirit with those promptings, because there's a reason that he put that person on our heart, or there's a reason why he prompted us, "Hey, go Coach just has to pray with that person, and you know, there's a reason behind it. And so many instances, there's, you know, of people sharing, hey, I should have talked to that person, and then unfortunately, that person passes away, and they never have that moment again.
Yeah.
You know, so just an encouragement as we continue to go on this journey of faith, that anytime that someone comes to your heart, no matter who it is, no matter what the reason, reach out to that person. Give them a phone call and just say, hey, you know what, I was just thinking of you. Maybe say a prayer for them first and just say, hey, I was thinking of you, said a prayer for you. Hope everything's cool.
Yeah,
that's,
man.
You know, yeah. Not to look for anything in response, man.
No, and it's interesting because I think the closer we go to the Lord, the faster we respond to some of those prompts. I was sharing with somebody the other day in confession, the sins these days are more sins of omission, like getting those promptings and not acting on them, or not acting on them in time. And like you said, so it's a great message for everyone. You know, when you feel prompted, you feel like you're being called to do something, even if you got to take a step out in holy boldness, like picking up the phone and calling in as Sign Catholic Radio, to just do it, right? Nike, just do it. So, yeah.
Great stuff, brother. Well, it's great, yep. Great hearing your voice, man. We'll get together, connect soon, and
look forward to it. All right, brother. Thanks for the call. God bless you. Bye bye. All right, the phone lines are clear. If anybody wants to call in, number is 610-527-2906 or 888-343-2484. I want to share a couple of my own that have happened in the last week. So my good friend Mike Norton was over in Italy, and he's been back a little while now. And when he went over, I had asked him a favor. I was blessed to be able to go to Italy last summer with my wife. And when we were in Florence, we happened to go to this, my wife went to a perfume shop there. And not that she wears perfume, but she likes the diffusers that you can buy for your home. And it was a really special scent that they had in this one store in Florence. And not been able to find it. It's not sold here in the States. Looked it up online, and you can order it from Florence if you want to pay $120 to have it shipped over. And so when Mike mentioned that he was going to be in Florence, I asked him if it wasn't too much trouble if he would stop him and pick me up a refill bottle for the decanter that my wife had purchased last year. And he was gracious enough to do so. And the odder God is that I went out to Malvern, the retreat house, last Thursday to catch up with them. And two great things happened at Malvern last week. And not sure if they've been talked about here. I don't know if it was mentioned. I know would not have been Anton last Thursday. I don't know if Kathleen mentioned it last Thursday or today or yesterday. But on Thursday of last week, in the morning, we got word that Pope Francis had approved the second miracle for Blessed Carlo Acutis, and that we'd be having a consistory to get put together to determine the date of his canonization. For anybody that's been to Malvern in the last few months, hopefully you had an opportunity to visit the shrine for Carlo Acutis in Lower McShane and see the wonderful job that Malvern and especially our friend Mary B. D'Amico, the effort that she put into creating that beautiful shrine. And I think now that Carlo is going to be canonized, the shrine is even more important, and that, you know, I think great things are going to happen at Malvern as a result of the efforts that they've made there to make everybody aware of Carlo Acutis and the saint that he is. But when I got out to in touch with Mary B. and Mike to let them know that I was coming out last Thursday, they let me know that was also the day that the 35-foot cross that was on Logan Circle during Pope John Paul II's Mass in 1979. After Pope John Paul II's visit here, that cross was moved from Logan Circle to the seminary. And, of course, you're probably aware that St. Charles Seminary is closing in its current location and moving over to Gwen and Mercy College, or Gwen and Mercy University it might be now. And but they weren't taking the cross, and they had offered the cross to Malvern. So probably about an hour or so before I got to Malvern, that 35-foot cross was delivered. And it needs work to be done. It's had 35 years of weathering. It wreaked a little bit of havoc on it, so they'll be working on refurbishing it and then getting ready to stand it up. You know, at the same time, I mentioned earlier the 100th anniversary or the centenary of Matt Talbot's passing will take place next year in June 2025. And at least one of the Matt Talbot groups that goes out to Malvern is erecting a shrine to Matt Talbot. Our House Ministries, we're donating the 4-foot statue that we have of Matt Talbot to be placed in that shrine. So there are lots of great things happening at Malvern. But I just thought, you know, is that odd or is that God that on the same day that we get the announcement that Carlo Acutis will be canonized is the day that the cross arrives at Malvern. The other thing I want to mention, and I don't know, kind of an odd God. I know that I've mentioned this gentleman on the radio in the past, and it's probably been quite a while. But one of the things I do as part of a, I guess you could say, ministry that when I meet panhandlers on the street, that try to strike up a conversation and at least try to, you know, get their name and, you know, help them out a little bit. And one of the guys that I would always see on the 34th Street exit of the Schuylkill Expressway was a guy by the name of Anthony. Perhaps if you've ever gotten off the Schuylkill there, you've seen him, kind of a tall guy, big beard. And I had seen him a couple days a week for probably 6 months, always trying to convince him that maybe that, you know, today's the day you can get some help. And then he kind of disappeared on me. I hadn't seen him in a number of months. I had inquired about him from one of the other panhandlers there, a girl named Kelly, who I've gotten to know. And the day I asked Kelly about Anthony, she actually cried because she hadn't seen him in a few weeks and wasn't sure if he was still alive, if he was in the hospital, what have you. And I haven't seen Kelly now in quite a while. But lo and behold, yesterday, driving down the Grace Ferry, I hop off the Schuylkill at the 34th Street ramp, and who's there but Anthony. And kind of exchanged smiles and how you doings, and you only get a few seconds depending on the light there. And so I really didn't have a chance to chat, and but said that I would be back by again this morning. And sure enough, Anthony was out there this morning, and I didn't even strike up a conversation. I just told him to get in my truck, and we went and got a coffee, and he got an orange juice and a little something to eat, and just learned in a half hour that we were together a whole lot about him and about what it's like to live on the street and the things that go through their minds. And here he had spent 55 days in the hospital. Some of these drugs that are on the street now, you know, for decades we've heard about heroin and more recently about fentanyl. And then this latest that's on the street, the stuff they call trank, which is it's just not a good thing. The body can't break it down, so it opens up wounds in people's bodies, and with the body trying to, you know, push it out. If you've seen the videos of addicts that are, you know, that were in Kensington and other places where they're just kind of stooped over, it looks like they're going to fall over any second now. Chances are that they're on this drug. And with Anthony, it not only opened up some wounds, but it also he ended up with a knee infection. And like I said, he was in the hospital for 55 days. And you know, the insidiousness of addiction, he had an opportunity to detox a little bit and get some substitutes to help him not get violently ill and hopefully eventually weaned off, but it didn't work this go around. But you could see a little glimmer of hope in his eyes. And when we show people some love, when we let them know that there is another way, that life doesn't have to be what it is today, that there is a better way to live, and that, you know, if I can do it, like we would say with Matt Talbot, if I can do it, you can do it by the grace of God. And you know, who knows? I made sure he had my card again. He doesn't have a phone, but I said, you know, they just tap somebody on the street. You want me to come get you? I'll come get you. And you know, just the fact that the dude's still alive, that the drugs haven't killed him yet, gives me hope. And to be able to have that exchange that we had today, hopefully gave him some hope. And you know, nobody's got an easy life. Both his parents died in 27. His mother died in 2017. His father in 2018. And you know, he went to college for a while. You know, just a good guy. And you know, there's so many people in the room. So many people that struggle with addiction. They're all good people. You know, when I mentioned Anthony and Kelly, they were like family. Anthony was telling me how when his knee was finally given out and he couldn't get around, and how Kelly would take care of him. You know, they look out for each other just like we look out for our brothers and sisters. And you know, they know that they're in it together, whatever it is that they're into, much like we hear with this Catholic radio apostolate, and whether it's the charismatic movement, the Innocent Catholic Radio, the Calyx Society, whatever, we're in it together, and we'll do whatever we can to help one another and lift each other up. And you know, the idea is that we have this all in the you know, because of God, because He's put us together. And and like Father Spitzer wrote, this empathy that we know what it's like for, especially those of us that have struggled with addiction. We know what it's like for other people to have that struggle. And we're kind of in a unique situation where we're uniquely qualified to help them. A lot of family members don't want to hear that. They want to be able to help their loved ones. And a lot of times they get pretty upset because no matter what they try to do, it doesn't seem to work. And you know, sometimes we don't know when it's going to happen, but sometimes that's that spark that happens between a couple of addicts, one trying to help another, that miracle can happen, and that the other person does realize that there is a way out, and takes that hand that's being offered to him. It may be a human hand right in front of him, but behind that is certainly God's hand that's trying to lift them up and you know, out of the misery that they're in. So I'd ask you to keep Anthony in your prayers, Kelly, wherever she may be, another guy, Wayne, that we haven't seen in quite a while, that it was kind of the three of them, and all those people that struggle with addiction that still haven't found a way out, that they somehow or other, that moment of grace comes to them, and when it does, that their eyes and their souls are open to accept that grace and accept that hand of help and grow closer to our Lord. So we're just about at the top of the hour again. I love being here on Wednesdays and talking about our Lord today, talking about the Blessed Mother and her the visitation that we'll celebrate on Friday. And I just ask you to think about that a little bit, you know, of how the, you know, the Blessed Mother in her situation was willing to be in service to her cousin Elizabeth, and perhaps how we can be in service to other people. I'm going to be joined in a couple of minutes here by Peter DePalma. We'll be talking about the gift of the divine will and Louisa Picaretta, as we do on the last Wednesday of each month. So we're just going to take a short break. When we come back, going to be joined by Peter. He's already on the line. Don't go away. We'll be right back.